I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
And Merry Christmas. I'm Pastor Myron Dom, and if you're visiting with us this morning, we are so glad you're here. You're surrounded by people at this church who see Jesus Christ making a difference in our lives. Amen, church? Amen. And we just love to share it. We'd love to connect with you. You find a connection card there in the rack. You can take it to the Welcome Center, visit our website, download our app. We would love to get connected with you any way we can and be of help. Because turning to Jesus makes all the difference in your life forever. Right on, church? Right on. Praise His name. We want to celebrate Him this morning as we celebrate Christmas. And throughout this Advent season, we've been exploring different characters found in that first Christmas story. We'll do so again in just a few moments. But right now, let's worship Him with song.
Peace on earth and mercy mild. So King of Heaven, come. Come as Emmanuel. Come in a manger.
I ask thee to save. close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there.
We sing Emmanuel, God with us.
What hope we hold this silent night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found?
God with us makes all the difference. You may be seated. In worship of our King, we'd like to receive offerings. We sing praises to Him, and we give generously as well, that we might declare His praises both in this community and around this globe. I'd like to receive an offering this morning. If you are a visitor with us today, please let that pass right by. We're just glad you're here. Gentlemen, you come forward as we pray and thank God for His generosity to us. Oh Lord, Your magnificent plan of coming to be with us in the form of a child, a baby, miraculously born one. Father, it just stuns us and it delights us simultaneously because You came innocently and quietly, that whosoever will can worship You as King. As worshipers of You, we declare our praise to You with our tongues. We give You our lives in honor. And we give generously of the resources You have so richly blessed us with, that others might hear of You and come to know You too. It's all about You, Jesus. And we thank You. In Your powerful name, we pray together. Amen, church. Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Taking a trip on a plane the other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. And then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round Him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. Though He never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose Him. And then He walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's not a new book, that's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, made of tales, just to help the weak to survive. Let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Gathered round Him underneath the star, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. For the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. No, He never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose Him. And then He walked down the road and died on the cross. And that was the end of the beginning. Of the beginning, he said with a smile, what more could there be? He's dead. You said they hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said, I'll read it again, but this time there's more, and I believe that this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this for you. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. All the angels sang praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, made the blind to see. Did you know that God can be a friend? Though he never ever did a single thing wrong, he answered when the crowd chose. And then he walked and he died 3 days later.
3 days later. 3 days later.
They here.
As your advisor, I feel compelled to communicate my hesitation about this meeting. Do you even know these men?
We do not.
So why even take a meeting with them? They are stargazers. They are Gentiles.
These men have valuable information. We play our cards right, they will help us infinitely more than we can help ourselves. Now send them in.
Gentlemen, greetings. Welcome. Welcome. My staff tells me you've come a long way.
This is true. We've come from the east.
Is that right? And I trust your journeys have not been too difficult.
They're like most journeys. Some good, some bad, but mostly long.
So tell me, as a man who doesn't do much journeying myself anymore, what is it that would inspire men such as yourself to undertake such a long trip?
Well, as I'm sure you know, word has been spreading about the birth of a Messiah. We witnessed his star, and so we have come to worship him.
Is that right? A new Messiah. I must admit, I feel a little silly. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
It's said to be in a place called Bethlehem. Do you know where we could find this place?
Lucky for you, Bethlehem is only about 10 miles away.
10 miles? Ah, that's such a relief. After so many miles, 10 seems just around the corner.
Isn't that the truth? I know you're eager to resume your journey and witness this new Messiah firsthand, but please, before you go, allow me to be a good host and offer you a drink.
To the Messiah.
To the new king. Would you do me a favor?
Of course.
Once you have found this new king, would you come back and tell me exactly where he is so that I might have the opportunity to go and worship him myself?
Consider it done, King Herod.
Safe travels.
Safe travels. Would you trust that guy? He makes my skin crawl. Herod's intentions are nefarious. The magi, or wise men, are sincere. Herod is self-serving. The Magi wish to serve the newborn Messiah, the King of the Jews. Both parties are intrigued by news of this birth, but for very different reasons. What makes the difference between them? What difference does it make today? My friends, it makes all the difference in the world. For each of us will either be like the Magi or like King Herod. Oh, there will be some subtle variations, but the heart of the matter will remain true. Either we will worship Jesus as King or we will not. We find the Christmas story playing out the contrast between the Magi and King Herod in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I want to read it with you this morning, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. The story of Christmas unfolds before a unique political backdrop. The central figure on that canvas strikes a barbaric pose, Herod the Great. He was born into a family who had the habit of siding with the strong powers of the day. Both grandfather and father had served as military commanders in a tribal state south of Judea and earned recognition as valuable assets to the Roman military machine. Herod followed in their footsteps and earned an appointment as governor in the region of Galilee. He made a name for himself by squashing a rebellion in that area and thwarting further dissension around Jerusalem. Rome was pleased with his actions, so they granted him a title. The title? King of the Jews. For 33 years, he ruled ruthlessly. He brutally shed much blood to retain control of his throne from any who may appear as a threat, going so far as to murder his own wife and sons. because of a perceived coup. But Herod was not the rightful king. He was not the rightful king. Though he ruled with much impact, he could never be rightful king of the Jews. The king of the Jews had to be in the lineage of David. One could not be granted title king of the Jews. One had to be born king of the Jews. Verse 1 continues. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Scripture does not give us much detail about the Magi. They likely came from Babylon, what we would know as modern-day Iraq. They studied the sky and the stars. And so when they saw this star rising in the east, they realized there's something significant happening on earth. Remember with me that nearly six centuries earlier, Jewish people had been exiled to Babylon. The king of that region had overtaken Israel. And in response to God's judgment upon his disobedient people at that time in their history, many of them were carried off as prisoners to Babylon. But the king of Babylon didn't encase them in jail. He simply relocated them to his region and allowed them there to live and work. Under the sovereign hand of God, this occurred during the days of Daniel and the prophet Jeremiah. And in those days, as the Jews lived in that land, they spoke of prophecy, of a Messiah who would be born and would deliver them. This story, this prophecy, had been heard and not forgotten by the Magi. The Magi connected this star rising in the east with this Jewish prophecy of a Messiah to be born. And the Magi came to worship the true king, the king of the Jews. They were determined to find him, personally find him, and pay homage to this great deliverer. Let me take a sidebar for a moment. There's a favorite passage for many Christians found in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, which states this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me," say it with me, church, "with all your heart." This memorable promise is contained in a letter that Jeremiah, living in Jerusalem, sent to the exiled Jews living in Babylon. In that letter, he conveyed the Lord's intention for the Jews: build houses, settle down, marry, have children and grandchildren, and pray for and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've exiled you. Well, the Jews did just that. And as they sought to be a blessing even to their captors, they shared with them the prophecies of the Lord for generations, right there in Babylon. Magi had listened to the Jews, and some of them had taken these prophecies to heart. The Magi that followed the star all the way from the east as it moved across that sky to the west, all the way to the land of Israel, those Magi came in fulfillment of this prophecy. Look at that last sentence with me again. Say it with me. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The Magi fulfilled that promise. And so will you, my friend. If you seek the Lord, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart. Back to our story. Verse 3, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he contacts the Jewish chief priests and teachers of the law to inquire about this Messiah. Where exactly will he be born? They told him Bethlehem was the prophesied location. Verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. Herod is threatened. He is threatened by this king. He had worked too hard militarily and too long politically to simply acquiesce his throne to some young upstart. Even to one who would supposedly be born king according to some ancient Jewish prophecy. His irritation enlarged as he understood this baby king had been born right under his nose in his backyard, and he was the last one to find out. Such lack of control caused Herod to tighten his slimy grip around his dusty kingdom. He would not be usurped. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place right where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In contrast to Herod's frustration, we see the Magi are overjoyed by this king. Just like Jeremiah 29:13 promised. They sought the king with their whole heart, and they found him. And so, my friend, you too will find the king, the Prince of Peace, if you seek him with your whole heart. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasuries and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. Gold meaning significance, incense, an offering to God, myrrh used to prepare a body for burial. Even in these gifts, Jesus' perfect life and sacrificial death was being foreshadowed. The Magi desire to extol, to worship, to adore. The king deserves their all, and they gladly give it. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their home country by another route. Again, we see Father God's sovereign hand directing the steps of the Magi, just as he directs the steps of all those whose hearts seek him. Verse 16, when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. whereas the Magi desired to extol the new king. In contrast, stark contrast, Herod desires to exterminate. His weapon of choice to fight the new king, infant genocide. All Jewish boys, 2 years old and under, savagely terminated. But Jesus and his parents had been warned beforehand in a dream, just like the Magi. And they had fled to Egypt right before the sword fell in Bethlehem. Jesus' day to die as King of the Jews was not yet. It would come in God's perfect time, 30 years hence. And on that day, hanging on a cruel cross, Jesus, the King of the Jews, would make peace, forgiveness, freedom available to all who seek him with their whole heart. At this point in the Christmas story, we see a clear contrast between Herod and the Magi. Herod refuses Jesus as king. He was determined to be his own king, to lead his own life, to call his own shots, to be in control of his own destiny, or so he thought. In reality, Herod was simply trapped in a self-imposed delusion that he was really in control. For who is ultimately in control of every life? Herod was deceived into thinking that he knew best, even better than God. Herod was detached from understanding his tremendous need for mercy and for grace, for a Savior. How easy it is to be just like Herod. Oh, you may not be foreboding, nor ruthless, nor sport a huge stash. But if you're living independently of God, then you're just like him. There's little difference. If you're trying to run life by your rules, trying to do it in your strength, on your own, then the same motivation that propelled Herod will propel you. For the refusal to honor Jesus as king always comes from one source: pride. You might live a life far more pleasant than Herod, but peel back the layers of your existence. If you refuse Jesus as king, your pride is as putrid as Herod's. Look then at the Magi. The Magi welcomed the king. They did not turn away in disbelief. They heard the story, the prophecy, searched it out, and they concluded, this is the king. King of the Jews, the Messiah, and we want him to be king over us. And they worshiped him with their lives. Let's be honest today. Who are you most like? Herod or the Magi? Who is king of your life? For we each serve some king. When you decide to welcome Jesus as King over you, then and only then will you experience the gift that He lived and died and lives again to grant all who seek Him with their whole heart. What is that gift? It is peace. Peace that I'm right with God. Peace that all my sins have been washed away. Peace that no matter what storm I'm facing, I'm not in it alone. Peace. He's holding me. He's got me. He'll get me through. Peace that when I face death one day, He will be there to welcome me home. Peace is His gift to those who seek Him with their whole heart. Jesus puts it this way in Mark chapter 8. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What good is it to be your own king, to even succeed at it in earthly terms, only then to stand before the true King in judgment one day, your hard-earned life held up against His standard of perfection? You will fall short. And if on that day you sadly realize for the first time the utter emptiness of your pride, it will be too late. You will be judged, and your soul will be forfeited. You need to welcome Jesus as King in your life. Now, do not put this off. For none of us knows what a week holds. None of us knows what can happen in a matter of days to change your life. If you sense the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, tugging at your heart today, do not deny Him. Open your heart to Him. Let Him be Lord over you. Then, and only then, will you have peace. Peace that nothing can take away.
Start at the manger on a cold wind.
Christmas starts at the manger. It does not end there. The story of Jesus takes us to the cross and the empty tomb. Because he conquered sin and death, he can set us free and give us peace. For peace is what we need most of all. The riches and security and strength of this world are fleeting. If you gained the whole world, yet forfeited your soul, what have you accomplished? In humility today, I invite you to admit to yourself and to him how much you need him as King. I know many of us here have already welcomed Jesus as King over our lives. We are experiencing the peace he grants us, even in the storms and difficulties of time. When he rules, not just as Lord of all, but Lord of me, it makes a difference. Perhaps you're connecting those dots for the first time this morning. Are you wanting to experience the true miracle of Christmas? The miracle of having a peace that transcends human understanding? Then welcome this King into your life. Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When you place your faith in Jesus, you are trusting him to do what you cannot do for yourself. How does he do it? Remember the drama we saw. Jesus was born miraculously of a virgin. He was God and man at the same time. He led a perfect, sinless life, and he voluntarily offered himself up on that cruel cross to pay the penalty for all sin, not his, ours. Because God had determined that where there was sin, there would be guilt, there would be shame, and there would be consequence, even death. Jesus, the God-man, died in our place so we could be forgiven, so we could have peace. Praise his name. He rose from the dead to prove to us that he has such power. I would not worship a God or a prophet or a religious leader who stayed dead. Because if he stayed dead, he was just a man. But if he came back from the dead and ascended into heaven, and eyewitnesses saw that and then gave up their lives to testify to others, this is true. Who dies for such ludicrousy? No one, unless it's true. So I worship one who lives eternally, has power over death and sin, sickness and shame. He rules all. Praise his name. Praise his name. And if we humble ourselves and come to him just as we are, sin and shame and sickness, and come to him humbly, he will receive us. Don't think you've got to get it figured out and clean it up before you bring it to God. It's stained terribly. You'll never get it clean. Just bring that old life of yours, just as it is, to him and say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And he will. He will, because he loves you. And he will receive you to himself, and he will take up residence in you, and he will grant you forgiveness, and he will give you peace. I invite us all to bow our heads. If you sense God speaking to you as I'm sharing these truths, if you sense God pulling on the edges of your mind and heart, don't deny him. Don't turn away. Humble yourself, proud one. Don't stay like Herod. Bend your knee like the Magi. Turn to him in faith. Seek his mercy with your whole heart. If you want Jesus to be king over you, and you've never talked to him like this before, I invite you to talk with him right now, even as I pray. You can pray right behind me quietly where you sit. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. I believe he lived a perfect life. He died on that cross for me. He rose again from the dead. He is alive. Because of him, I can be forgiven. Forgive me, Lord. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. You are Lord of all. Be Lord of me. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, I invite you right where you're seated just to raise your hand as a testimony to yourself and to God. I'm serious about having you as my king. Just lift your hand. And all of us who are already trusting Jesus as king, would you lift your hand too in honor of him? By so doing, we're testifying to ourselves and to him, God, you are king over me. Let me pray for us with lifted hands. Lord, you see our hand. More importantly, you see our heart. You know whose hearts seek you. I thank you that when we seek you, we will find you. And you will give us peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 If you put your faith in Jesus this morning, I want to just remind you, you're surrounded by people who would tell you sincerely, he is making the difference for me. Right on, church? It's true. It's true. It's true. You never regret the choice to follow Jesus. If you chose today to follow him, right there in the pew rack, I put a little card. It says, I choose to follow Jesus. I invite you to take that card, tear off the bottom, drop it at the Welcome Center. We'd love to connect with you and help you understand next steps in following him. Because when Jesus is king over your life, you've got peace no matter what. Amen.
Holy night, holy night.
So we've heard the angels proclaim his majesty. We've celebrated him at his birth, Emmanuel, the one who's come to bring peace, the one who's come to bring joy, joy to the world. Shall we sing?
Thank you.
May joy surround your Christmas as you worship the true King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. What's his name, church? Jesus. Merry Christmas to all. I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.